Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is. 9 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show with you till 10 o'clock tonight. I spent half the day today thinking it was already Friday. You know how bummed out you can get when you wake up in the morning, food tastes better, the air feels crisp even with like 120% humidity, because you're thinking, all right, weekend's about to start. Got some Hurricanes football tomorrow, got some Dolphins football on Sunday, Friday night. Then you realize, oh, Thursday. And they got a big day coming up, big long day coming up tomorrow. So the week is not over yet, friends. Friday is still yet to come. Football Friday will be tomorrow. Football Thursday is tonight. Thursday night football, we'll have updates on that throughout the 9 o'clock hour. But before we hear from Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator Matt Burke, I want to go to the phone lines, talk to Stormcat. What's up, Stormcat?
Hey, Alex. Man, when I was 14 years old, I had a teacher so beautiful, man.
Yeah.
I used to pray that she'd take me home and seduce me.
Yeah, you know what? I used to do the same thing. But you know what, Stormcat? It never happened, ever.
Like they always pick the guys who gonna snitch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. I would have said nothing. I would have kept that secret to my grave, right? Well, and yet they never picked me.
Hey, I know what happened to Lawrence Timmons. His girlfriend gave him an ultimatum. And, he came from the Pittsburgh area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, you say he was there.
Yeah, that's right? where he played for a decade. That's where his young daughter lived. That's where his girlfriend, I imagine, lived. So he's got ties there.
Right. So, okay, he been down here, you know, going on close, maybe not a year yet, right? Okay, the child's still up there. I know this because I've seen people go through it. And, okay, he here, and presumably she's still up there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, she probably listening to outside influences. You know a girlfriend. Girl, he down there, South Beach and stuff.
Oh, that's a great point.
He ain't asked you to. I hate women who use children to bottle with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think he got that call Saturday, and she about told him, look here, if you ain't going to do nothing, we going to go ahead and move on and stuff, you know?
That's interesting. You, it's an interesting theory.
And I really believe that, man. You know, and then, you know, hey, because, hey, I care about my kids.
When as anybody would, man. I mean, if it came down to someone else's life or your child's life, you know how that's going to go for anybody on this planet. It's the way it should be.
That's why if I was gays when it first came up, I'd say, Lawrence, coming off. Just me and you. Look here, man. That girl ain't threatening you, is she? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because sometimes it's just the way you act, you know, ask people. You know, if you pressuring me, hell, I might have a hard time telling you something, right? Because I may not trust you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's the way you approach people. Because now, and I know Coach Gaze, you know, you got to be a hard ass. I understand that. But sometimes you got to have compassion with people.
Well, but put yourself in Gase's shoes for a second, and this is why I could understand if something like that was going on for Timmons personally. He probably figures, what's going to happen? Like, if I call Adam Gase and say, Coach, I know we got a game tomorrow, but I really got to fly back to Pittsburgh. It's a personal thing. Like, what do you think the head coach is going to say? Are you out of your damn mind?
Right.
Which is it.
Right.
No matter how compassionate you are, you're the head coach of an NFL team. Your team is about to play their first game of the season. A linebacker calls up and says, well, my girlfriend, I really need to go back home and see her. Like, well, what do you think the man's going to say? It's not even about compassion. It's about common sense.
Yeah, but I understand what I'm saying. But, you know, okay, you know, it's. But I really believe the bottom line is that girl, and she putting pressure on that man because, you know, he ain't brought her down here yet. So, you know, she probably thinking, you know, what my reverend called it, outside influences. Mm-hmm. It ain't nothing but them girls she mess around with, putting stuff in her head, and now she done made that call to him to tell him, look here, you down there and we up here, you ain't thinking about us and stuff, you ain't talking about bringing us down there, so what we gonna do, we gonna just gonna go on, you know? Well, I'm gonna take this kid, and we just gonna go and stuff.
I love the fact that you have this whole thing mapped out in your head. It's fascinating to me because you've probably spent more time theorizing this than I have.
Oh, Alex, I've seen it two times. Where women, I hate the women like that take the child to try to manipulate you. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
I hate that, and that's probably what he's going through. He probably don't give a damn about her, but now when it comes to that baby. You know what I'm saying? Now all bets are off. You know what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
I believe the man want to talk, but he'll talk to the right people. You know, and that's how you come at him. You know, I mean, because a man ain't gonna tell you everything, no matter what. You know, he just ain't gonna say it. You know, but that's why I say I hope. I pray, hey, I like Lawrence Timmons. We need him on.
We need
team.
Him, no question.
They got to figure this out. They just got to work it out.
Hopefully that's what's happening. And I also hope, Stormcat, that the player they acquired this week, Stephon Anthony, I would love to see that young man.
Well, he's an addition.
Right. And I'm not saying he has to replace Lawrence Timmons, but this is a former first-round pick from 2 years ago. I would love to see Stephon Anthony really find his career here in Miami. That would be great.
And Timmons.
Right.
Right. That'd be, hey, wait. It's going to work out. I really believe it's going to work out. I really believe it's just going to work out. He got to do something with that chick. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man.
It's just, you know, God, dog, I hate women who do that, man.
I love how you're so – thanks for the call, Stormcat. I love how you're so worked up. You know, I think if I lived 1,500 miles away from my wife, I think she'd be thrilled. Like, every day would be like a party. She wouldn't have to worry about me leaving a mess at home. Because here's my problem, Solana. And, you know, I'm sure one day you're going to get married. You're going to understand these things. Don't be oblivious like me, because I don't even realize when I make a mess is the thing. Like, my home could reach pigsty status and I wouldn't even notice, right? Because I've got tunnel vision. I'm always thinking about what I've got in front of me, right? Sometimes that could be work. Sometimes it could be preparing for a show, watching a big game, because remember, that's part of my job. It could be, oh, I'm really focused on the video game I'm about to play. I'm really focused on the Game of Thrones episode I'm going to watch. I don't notice the mess that I'm making. I don't notice the dirty dishes I leave or the dirty clothes I leave. If I was left to my own devices, I would be living in a hovel, right? If I was left to my own devices, if I didn't have somebody at home to either nag/remind me to clean things and give me a hard time about it, nothing would get done. Because I'm always thinking about the task, and the tasks I think about never have anything to do with leaving the house clean. So I think that if I were in Timmons' situation and I was living 1,500 miles away from my wife, it would be a party for her just to not have me in the house.
So you ruined Game of Thrones for your wife.
Yes, I did that. I did that.
You're a mess at home without even knowing.
Without even knowing.
Just completely oblivious to
it. Right.
How does your wife do it?
I have no idea. And it's not like it's about laziness, because some people are messy because they are lazy or apathetic, slovenly people. No, I'm a mess because I honestly have no idea that I'm a mess. It's a crazy thing. It's some kind of a complex that I have. I can't explain it. It's just my thing. Let's hear from a guy who's not a mess, I don't think. Matt Burke, Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator. Very open, honest guy. Matt Burke addressed the media today. Here is Burke on the adjustments to the game plan that were made midnight before the Chargers game.
You know, we got to make the best decisions, like, in the moment at who's available and what I'm doing. So, I mean, there was a little bit of adjustment game plan wise the night before the game. So, I don't know, maybe about midnight or so, I was up till just changing some things. And again, like knowing, okay, hey, we're going to play Chase a little bit. And, you know, what I felt comfortable, you know, calling with him in the game. So we took some stuff out and readjusted some things and then had some contingency plans because then obviously we're going to be a little bit thin at linebacker.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of put together some other packages just, again, kind of in case. Then we got even thinner at linebacker if something happened in the game. You know, we had a – so we had some other guys ready to go. I tell you that the players responded great.
And here's some more on that from Burke on how the night before the game, of course, you know, no Timmons, but Burke had to explain to players the new situations because of Timmons' absence.
You know, we had about three or four guys that we kind of grabbed Friday or Saturday night and talked to them about, like, hey, this may be a situation where we're going to put you in. Or, you know, we kind of had all different guys. I mean, literally from Terrence Fide to Mike T to obviously with Chase. And so there were about three or four guys that we kind of had some contingencies on based on. And again, they put the ball down. I mean, I know it's kind of got out about, you know, what Cam said to the team on Saturday night. I mean, no one cares. I mean, no one, they're kicking the ball off at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And so we put our best plan together with the guys that were going to play for us.
And I like that. And I like Cam Wake sending that message. I love Matt Burke sending that message because when you face adversity, right, whether the adversity is your quarterback down for the year, your rookie middle linebacker, Raekwon McMillan, out for the year with an ACL, Tony Lippett out for the year with an Achilles, hurricane displaces you, you miss your first home game, you have to play 16 consecutive weeks. Nobody outside of this community cares that you have to play 16 consecutive weeks. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you. Nobody's going to take it easy on you because you're one of your starting linebackers decides to leave and go AWOL the day before a game. That no one is going to give you 1 second of sympathy for that. You still have to adapt to the situation. You have to show up for a what he called, you know, of course, a 1 o'clock kickoff there in California. It was a 4 o'clock kickoff for us, but you still have to show up to that game and play your asses off. No one is going to take it easy on you for that. Here is Burke on who was going to fill what roles.
We had contingency plans, again, playing some sub or some nickel in different spots to certain personnel groups, or, again, if we had to go big. I mean, that's really sort of where you start getting down. I mean, we had four linebackers active. You know, so it was more like, okay, well, if we have less than that playing for whatever reason, who can kind of fill those roles? So really it was a matter of what we could play out of sort of our nickel packages versus certain groups and what we could play with, you know, say, you know, an extra guy like Will Hayes or Terrence Fide or some one of those guys playing as a big sort of Sam or something. So those were kind of the thoughts we went through and we had everything in place, you know, depending on kind of what came out in the game.
And one of the real positives out of that game was the play of the rookie linebacker who was a spot starter last week, Chase Allen. Here's Burke on how well he played.
Chase was great, man. Chase was great. You know, I've dog cussed him pretty much since the day he walked into this building. I mean, I've been all over him and been in his ear and killing him. And I walked past him. You know, I was all amped up on stretch line. I walked past Chase, you know, and he's kneeling down, stretching or whatever. And I grabbed him by the shirt, by the jersey, and I was like, this is why I've been MFing you all year, and this is why you're here. I'm like, probably said some other stuff I can't say live here. And he's just looking at me, and he goes, you know, I yelled at him for about 2 minutes, and he looks at me, and he goes, okay, coach. I mean, that was it. And I was like, all right, we're good. And so, you know, the first call of the game, I blitzed him just because I was like, man, I don't want him thinking. I want to get him out there, and I'm going to send him. TFL, I mean, I think he only played like 10 snaps or something. He had four tackles. I mean, he was great. Didn't bat an eye. I mean, literally, that's kind of how he was just, all right, coach, I'm good, you know, and kind of handled my manic attitude. So he was great. He did a good job, man, and we feel comfortable playing him.
It's funny because I've observed a little bit of that in some of the practices we got to watch in training camp where it seems like Burke and Chase Allen, like, I don't even know what to call it, like a special rapport, like a fun little relationship where, like, Burke, he really tries to bring out the enthusiasm in Allen. Like, he'll be shaking him, he'll be yelling at him, he'll be, and it's all good natured, of course. And then Allen is like kind of like very like, okay, coach, whatever you say. It's so, I think he really takes pride, does Matt Burke, in kind of bringing out some of that attitude in Chase Allen and really kind of helping him be more comfortable. Like it's kind of a cool relationship that the two of them have. So when he was describing that scene about how, you know, he's like cursing at him, like good naturedly and shaking him, like I can totally picture that because I've seen that before. Here's another young player who's been excelling, Davin Godshaw. Here's Matt Burke, the defensive coordinator, talking about how Godshaw has evolved.
I mean, one of the things one of the first things I tell the guys when we have like the rookie camp or whatever it is, when we bring those players in, it doesn't matter where you're drafted. You know what I mean? Like the best player's going to play. I mean, I think Adam's proved that, you know, since he's been here. And so we pitch that to those guys as a starting point. Like no one's putting your draft number on the back of your jersey. So he's been here. He's worked all his balls off. I don't know if I can say that. Sorry. yeah, I know. He's worked hard. You know, he's a very mature kid. He's a tough kid. The one thing I appreciate about him is he knows his role, like in terms of he talked to me on Sunday and he's just like, hey, I know maybe I'm not necessarily part of the rush plan and the third down. He goes, I know what I'm here to do. I'm here to stop the run and set the tone and be physical and tough. And he's done that since he's been here and he did in the game. I mean, you know, he's never given us pause to think he can't do what we're asking him to do. So he's been great from the start.
And here's Matt Burke on, I mentioned this guy a little bit, third year in the league, was a former first round pick, 31st overall 2 years ago by the New Orleans Saints, Stephon Anthony. I can remember watching that guy at Clemson. He was one of the players responsible for getting Al Golden fired, right? He was one of those vaunted Clemson defensive players that helped the Tigers beat the Hurricanes 58-0 a couple of years ago. 3 years ago, I guess now. No, yeah. Two, 3 years ago. Who can count these days? But here is in Stephon Anthony, now a Miami Dolphin. They acquired him for a fifth-round pick. Here is Matt Burke on his vision for Stephon Anthony.
Yeah, we're still trying to get to know him. Obviously, he just came in yesterday. We weren't actually expecting him to even practice yesterday, and he did, which was good to just see him run around. We're going to put him in the mix. My thought with him is really just to try to put him in one spot and let him learn. I mean, it's hard any time coming into a new system and in the middle of a season, one game in, I guess. So we're going to get a feel for just kind of what we do with every guy we bring in. I mean, the process of like getting a feel for what he can handle and where his best fit is. And then kind of once, like probably by the end of this week, we get a feel like what sort of what we think his sort of best role is. And then just put him in there, throw him in the deep end and let him get working a little bit. So.
And staying with the linebackers, here is Dolphins defensive coordinator Matt Burke today on how concerned he was when Timmons went missing and how Gase wants to kind of keep it all in-house.
Obviously there's a level of concern. I mean, we care for all our players deeply. We're around them a lot. So he went through a lot of stuff, obviously. I mean, we were concerned for him, but I mean, I know Adams, wants to keep sort of all the details in-house, and we'll just I'll be there for him whenever Adam decides he's back on the team.
So I wonder if that is any kind of a tip there when he decides he's back on. Like that may mean nothing, right? That just may have been something that he said, didn't mean anything by it, or it may have been a Freudian slip. So I don't know if we can take that as a sign that that Burke feels like Lawrence Timmons will be back. It's hard to imagine he won't be. Like in all seriousness, I know that it may be difficult at first for the rest of the locker room to accept the idea that this guy did leave us right before a game. Like it may be a hard thing to understand, but let me say this. We talked a lot about this on Monday in the locker room, and every player said, yeah, we would welcome him back with open arms, that this is something that obviously we need to work through this, but we believe in second chances. So this doesn't seem like the way the Dolphins locker room 13 years ago, 14 years ago, reacted to Ricky Williams disappearing before training camp. There was a lot of anger there. It seems like there's more understanding about Timmons. And that might mean that his teammates understand that maybe he had a better reason for leaving than the media gives him credit for. Maybe they know something we don't, right? But it is still hard for me to imagine that Lawrence Timmons isn't back, because let's be real here. Linebacker is a huge area of need and a major lack of depth for this team. Right. And so, okay, maybe Ray Mauluga ends up showing up and being great. I'm not counting on that. Or maybe Stephon Anthony ends up being great this year. Maybe Chase Allen continues to excel and Mike Hull and Kiko Alonso. But I think it's more likely that the Dolphins are going to desperately need Lawrence Timmons back. And I think that's going to make it easier for him to make amends with these guys. But I thought that was good stuff there from defensive coordinator Matt Burke today. LA Rams on top of the San Francisco 49ers 17-7 early in the second quarter in that one. Have we seen any screenshots of how many people are at that game? Because I know that they were expecting a ton, tens of thousands of empty seats at Levi's Stadium for that one.
Yeah, they just showed an aerial shot over the stadium. I wouldn't say it's completely packed at capacity, but it doesn't look like there's 15,000 seats available.
All right, so that's better than expected because a lot of speculation today, and they even published a piece about it on ProFootballTalk.com, how concerned they were for the lack of fans tonight. But if you're telling me it didn't look like, because they were saying tens of thousands, like maybe 15, 20,000 empty seats. You're telling me it looks better than that. So, all right, I'll give some credit to the San Francisco, the Santa Clara crowd there at Levi's Stadium. We'll talk a little soccer when we come back. So here's the thing. Cristiano Ronaldo is at it again. Very misleading to his fans. Like, I don't know why people look up to this guy. He's a big problem. We'll talk about that and more next here on WQAM.
The world's game plays here. Every night. It's time for your nightly football fix on the Alex Dono Show.
I've got an update on my soccer jersey collection. A few weeks ago, I reported that I had placed an online order to an Italian website, the Inter Milan team store, for a new Mauro Icardi jersey. I was worried that maybe I hadn't filled the order correctly. Maybe it would never come. The jersey did come. Here is the problem. The jersey arrived. I swear to you. Now, I should have known this because I've got European relatives. My father's from Europe. He's from Italy. I've been there many times. By ordering what they considered to be an extra large, which was the largest size they had on the website, the jersey that came to me is basically a child size. And I don't know if I can return it. Like, what? Am I send it back to Italy? They actually shipped it from China. So the order I placed was through Italy. Jersey was made and shipped to me from China. If anybody has like an 11-year-old child who might appreciate a Mauro Icardi jersey, I have one to donate because it's not going to fit me. Right? So that was very unfortunate. I wasn't sure if the order actually went through. The order did go through, but an Italian extra large is apparently like an extra small child size because I could lose 50 pounds and the jersey will still not fit me. So it did not work out very well for me. It's a beautiful jersey. Beautiful. I'd still much rather have that than a Cristiano Ronaldo jersey. Cristiano Ronaldo, turns out, is giving his fans bad investment advice. This is shameful. Last month, this story is from the Associated Press. Or no, this is from ESPN FC, excuse me. Last month, Cristiano Ronaldo sent a short message to his 59 million Twitter followers. 59. He's got 21 million more Twitter followers than Donald Trump. Cristiano Ronaldo, more Twitter followers than the President of the United States, who tweets all the time, more than Ronaldo does. Quote, happy with my new partnership with ex-Ness, the Real Madrid striker and world's most famous football star, wrote. He also retweeted a statement from a firm called ex-Ness Group, in which he praised how it, quote, gives back to the world, offers the highest quality of services, and fosters a socially conscious culture. European regulators may disagree. Ronaldo's new partner, an online brokerage firm based in Cyprus, you know, that's where my sister's husband is from, but they've got like no economy left, so I would not take investment advice from Cyprus. They deal in contracts for difference, or CFDs, complex derivatives that officials across the continent are seeking to curb because of the risks they pose to retail investors. Ex-Ness offers leverage or borrowed funds or as much as 500 times traders' deposits. This sounds like a Bernie Madoff thing. A feature that rulemakers say helps people lose money on market bets they don't understand. So if you listen to Cristiano Ronaldo, you may lose your life savings. So be careful. Tread lightly with this guy. Investment firm. Shady investment firm. And he sent that out to his 59 million Twitter followers. Like, I would feel guilty if I sent that out to my 7,000 Twitter followers. Can you imagine how many new investments ex-Ness has gotten, like, in the last couple of weeks since Ronaldo wrote that? Here we go. I got a taker. Hey, Dono, I have a 10-year-old. He would love the jersey. I'm really going to text this person my email address because I could probably work that out. Because if the Mauro Icardi jersey will not fit me, we can find someone who it will fit. We'll talk with Tom DeAngelo, talk some Miami Heat. He'd open up training camp, by the way, next Tuesday. Media Day Monday, training camp on Tuesday. Basketball season is almost upon us. We will talk about it next here on WQAM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.